Good evening. This is HNN, the Hollow Table News Network. This is your not even remotely close to around the clock Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes news, reactions, reviews, theory crafting, and more. I'm Pico Burrito, not Celiac Sarah, your host today. And we are joined by our very special co-host, Old Man Logan from Old Man's Cantina and the Escape Pod Cast. Logan, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you here. Why don't you say hello to everybody?
Hello, everybody. This is definitely a treat, a moment. But first off, a shout out to Celiac Sarah for a successful birth and her little one. I'm so happy for her. God bless. I hope she's resting comfortably and holding that little bundle of joy. And I couldn't be happier for her. But you know, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, as Sarah said a couple of weeks ago, we all know that the date was getting closer and closer and closer. It was about 10 days ago that she had the little boy. They're doing great. Everybody's happy. I've seen a couple of pictures. She looks tired, as expected. Yeah. Logan, I know you've got kids. I've got kids. We've been through this before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's great, although I never want to go back to that again. So,
yeah, no, I think I'm done with that. Yeah. As happy as I am for her, you can't help, as a veteran parent with a couple kids, kind of just sit back and snicker a little, because you know what's to come. Like, you just know. Yeah. You know what's going to happen eventually.
For the past 6 months, I've been sending her the insane things that my 11-year-old and 12-year-old do. And I'm like, you have, you know, a decade to wait until you get to this stupid stuff. So, but no, I'm really excited you're here. When Sarah kind of let me know that she was going away for maternity for a little bit, you're the first person I thought of to have you on the show. I've been on the Old Man's Cantina a few times, but for folks in the off chance they haven't kind of heard of you before, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us about your podcast. Kind of tell us who you are. So,
well, I'm Old Man Logan 76 in game. We've been doing the Old Man's Cantina for, I think, about maybe a little less than a year. It's grown a little bit of traction and a fan base, which I'm very thankful for and absolutely appreciate. I know Paul and Nev had decided to step down from doing the Escape Podcast, and now we're doing the Escape Podcast, the Old Man's Private Reserve, which is on every other Friday. But we've been trying to also stay with the Old Man's Cantina, doing that every Tuesday, because it's funny. Tuesday was completely random because my co-host just happens to have that night off, that day off from work. Yet every Tuesday, CG decides to drop some stuff. it really, in a way, works out for us, because I know some of the other folks that talk about this game and, you know, do things, and I know the term is strange, content creation, but it's nice to have kind of a independent, just kind of us show where every Tuesday stuff drops and we get to talk about it. So it's nice. I'm about 10.5 million in game. I've got all the legends, Aphra. Working on some stuff, but that's a topic for later in the show. So that's me. That's me. I play and have fun and talk about the game, and that's what I do.
So folks, if you have not had a chance to listen to Old Man's Cantina, please do yourself a favor and listen to it. I told you this 6 or 9 months ago. You and the Immortal Kane, you guys have a tone that you have on the show that is uniquely the two of you. Like, you're not trying to emulate anyone. You guys have just found a way to just get the two of you boiled down to an essence on a show. It's a great listen. I am looking forward to spring hitting in Ohio and taking some of those long walks with two of you guys on podcast, because that was a good time for me. So,
outstanding. Well, we're excited to hear. So definitely put the kids to bed, because it's we put it in our description that it's for adults. You know, we have we have a couple of cocktails, we swear like sailors, and some of the topics go awry. So I'll just warn you there. That's
all. All right. So with that, we're gonna jump into the show. Let's hit the first of all, let's kind of hit our March charity vote. piece. We still have a little bit of time. What's actually going to be great is we actually have one of the people that made a recommendation here, but really the vote's coming down to two organizations, two great organizations. The first is Black Girls Code, which is a group that's designed to help build coding skills in young girls as part of the African American community. That was a recommendation by Speedy that came in, and frankly is currently leading. So we also have the veteran the Veterans Housing Commission. I know I'm going to screw that up, but
It's okay.
recommended by Old Man Logan. So how about, instead of me screwing this up, why don't you tell us a little bit about your organization? So
Well, first of all, for the first organization that you mentioned, that sounds outstanding. That sounds like a very worthy organization. I'm all for supporting things like that. The organization that I recommended is I not just recommended, but I'm also an employee. It's called the Veterans and Community Housing Coalition. It's based out of Ballston Spa, New York, which is upstate around the Saratoga area. And it's a multi-transitional program from two separate kind of like assisted living, well, not assisted living, but halfway housing kind of programs for homeless veterans. One housing unit is for males, the other one is for females. And while we assist them, we advocate for them. We help them make appointments to the VA, which can be very, very problematic, as I'm sure some people know. So we help them make appointments with the VA. If they feel like at some point in their military career they want to get a higher rating for a disability claim if they were injured and just never talked about it. We assist them with budgeting skills, if you know, because a lot of the population that we've been dealing with are a lot of Vietnam vets, and unfortunately, a lot of these gentlemen, this is the generation of veterans that were, as I like to put it, they were passed by. Everyone knows the conflicts that we've had in the Middle East, and those guys were met with open arms and hugs, and everybody came home. The Vietnam vets were not. That's actually quite a bit of our population, and a lot of these folks are just living on their Social Security, which is a very, it's not sustainable. So we assist them with their rent. We assist them if they're disabled getting to and from their appointments. But the bottom line is the entire population at one point, all of these folks were homeless and dealt with consistent issues of homelessness throughout their lives, and that's tragic. So I am actually a case manager with the organization. I have 25 clients under my program that I assist and work with. And it's just something, as a veteran myself, this is an organization I really believe in. This is something that I give 40 to 50 hours a week of my life to. And I couldn't be happier. I'm a vet helping vets. Like I couldn't be happier with what I do.
No, that's great, and thank you for sharing that. And my uncle is a Vietnam veteran, and that hits home for me, the comment around the forgotten generation, kind of the forgotten
They
group,
really were.
it's a very difficult time. And folks, it's a phenomenal organization. The vote is coming down. We're going to actually get to close it off right around April 1st. We'll talk about who the winner is coming up for the next one, and then we will start this process all back over again. But want to thank both UNC for recommendations there. And again, we're going to kind of keep
Absolutely.
moving forward with these, though. But with that, let's jump into the game. So we did get an update today. There was a new content update. I think the big announcement came in was Seer, and Seer will be active in the game tomorrow. We're not going to jump into Seer today because I think both of us covered Seer on our last episodes. I think we kind of dug into it. I don't know what your takeaway from her was. Mine was make her slow and make her hit hard, and that's really all that matters so
Yeah,
far.
make
So
her slow, make her hit hard, and man, does she have a buffet of tunes to work with? The fact that she's a scoundrel. There is going to be so much theory crafting with this tune, and where her place is going to be is going to be very interesting in the coming months. Very interesting.
absolutely. Couple of bug fixes. I didn't see anything too kind of impressive on that list. The interesting one, I think, maybe was the Grand Inquisitor. With the Omicron update, they're ready to dive. They not always instantly defeat General Kenobi under General Master Kenobi's lead. I'll be honest, I never got that team to live long enough to actually get to try that. So, I don't know if it was the case or not.
Yeah, no, I don't. I know. I yeah, that's kind of new to me. I didn't hear
Probably a
anything.
little bit more, yeah, a little more interesting maybe with Third Sister coming to the game, which we'll probably touch on a little bit coming up, but not a whole lot in the content update. What I think was interesting is a little slip, not by CG, but by EA on one of their web pages where they made the announcement around the ship. And of course, this has been taken down at this point.
Yes, it
But
has.
EA posted a look at some of the upcoming events for April 23, and it stated the daily login character for April, Sith Marauder, who is the pilot for the B-28 Extinction class bomber, which synergizes with the new Fury class interceptor, which is interesting because no one has said a word about the Fury class interceptor.
Yeah, see,
So, Logan, what are your thoughts
somebody,
here?
yeah, somebody proofread that post and then scrambled to the edit room like pan
Yeah.
like in full scale panic mode. Yeah, that's what happened with that. Yeah.
So it looks like we're getting another ship. I'm not really surprised the way that they're kind of breaking up the dark side ships, that the
No.
Ties go with Tarkin, and it sounds like they're trying to make the Sith go with Thrawn. My question is, where do you think this is going to drop?
I think this is our next conquest unit, to be honest.
I think that's the
I
right
think we're
call.
due for a ship in conquest. I think that's going to be, yeah, that's going to be the next con. I mean, again, don't take it as gospel, but that's my opinion on how the conquest tunes have been. I hope this makes a difference in some way because I'm just not buying Admiral Trench right now. I've been this conquest. I have been the least motivated since I've ever played this game. Like I just other than doing my Datacron nonsense, I don't want to play Grind Quest anymore. I just don't want to do it. This character means nothing to me.
I think I think that the two interesting things about it, I had to immediately go out to the Googles and look it up, and the Fury class interceptor is from Knights of the Old Republic, the online game that brought us Malgus. And there is a Lego set that
That's
Malgus
crazy.
is the pilot. So the Lego set is Malgus and two Sith, the Sith Empire troopers. So I'm wondering if this isn't going to be a ship that Malgus is the pilot for. Which again, I depending on how you fared in the Malgus run of Conquest, could be good or bad. I will take after the trench run, the not intended to make it sound like that, all the way up through Reva and kind of both of those dropping in the same time. I could use a 3 month without a conquest character at the end that I got to put mods and all those other gear on. So I would love it if this was a conquest drop.
Yeah, no, I think we
So.
do with with guilds now starting to unlock Reva. We've got people are going to be unlocking Trench here in a matter of less than 2 weeks. Now you've got the Tuskens that they're trying to cram down your throat. You've now got Cal Kestis. You've got all these other characters that are coming out. The last thing I feel that we need right now is another is another thesis statement long kit. And another character. Just give us a ship. Give us a break. Like a ship is easy. Now, I will say if it's Malgus, I know a lot of people went for Malgus because he was like a fan favorite throughout the entire game. Like people heard that and they went for it. A lot of people went for it. Given that he's a tank, a lot of people invested some hefty relic levels into him. So that's not a bad community move for CG to drop a ship where he's the pilot for those that have him at Relic 7, 8, or 9.
Yeah, absolutely. Although if he's going to pilot it along with the Sith Empire Trooper, can you imagine taking Sith Empire Trooper up to 7, 8, or 9? That sounds painful, I think.
I know. My poor Sith Empire Trooper. He sat at Relic 5 for years now. He just, give me some love, and it just doesn't happen.
Then the
No,
last update, the last piece that came in was an update to, as Meathead calls it, Poggle the Greater. So we got a new Omicron for Poggle the Greater, or for Pago the Lesser, should say. And this is so the text now reads, so the text for his ability is Pago has 5% evasion for each other ally with Hive Mind. Separatist allies without Hive Mind have 25% offense and gain an additional 25% offense for each defeated ally. That's just the flat ability. That's his unique, I believe. The new ability reads, while in territory wars and all allies are Geonosian, so this would be only with the Bug Squad, at the
Yep.
start of the battle and the first time an ally is summoned, Geonosian allies gain Geonosian Brood until the end of battle or until they are defeated, which can't be copied, dispelled, or prevented. Geonosian Brood gives 20% offense, max health, max protection, tenacity, and 10 speed for each Geonosian ally. When this character is defeated, revive at 100% health and protection, excluding summons. So if you've got a bug party in Territory Wars, you're going to pick up 20% of a bunch of stats, another 60 speed, and when you beat a character, they're coming back at 100% unless it's the summon unit. That sounds pretty interesting.
It does. It's my only issue with a lot of these TW Omicrons is that I feel like in any guild, mid to late game and up, it's ridiculously difficult to get an entire guild on board to invest in one item for one team for because it's not good enough to have like five or six guys in your guild have this specific Omicron. You want a wall of it if it's that effective. And to get 30, 40 players to commit to something like this is incredibly difficult considering that they invest a resource that still is the most highly sought after and the most rare in the game right now, which is Omicrons. And you're asking us to not put them towards GAC, but to get 30 to 40 other players in the guild to be on board to use this for it to possibly be irrelevant in a couple of months. It's really hard for CG to sell these.
I don't know what you're seeing, but typically what we see are either Galactic Legends that are being set that either need a massive Omnicron investment to beat or another Galactic Legend to beat. And then we're seeing some of these super squads with Omnicrons there that take a Galactic Legend to beat. And then maybe two, garbage walls that you can just beat with anything. But there just aren't enough teams in Territory Wars that having to go dip all the way down into the Geonosians to be able to take something out, or set them on defense. We don't, there are too many tools in Territory Wars to do anything. That is not me saying I want more teams in Territory Wars. I don't.
Right.
I'm fine with the map the way it is. But yeah, it looks interesting. And supposedly, I saw this right before we jumped on. There's a bug with the Omicron that it's working in all game modes right now. So I think people are doing
That's
some
good.
really interesting testing.
Yeah, that's good testing right there. Yeah.
And I think it's showing up pretty well. I did see someone said that they weren't able to get General Master Kenobi down, but they had actually cleared out like three of the units on the board because like Cat's gonna leap and take out one of the Geonosians,
Yep, right out of
and
the
then it's
gate.
gonna pop right back up. And it's gonna pop right back up.
Yeah.
So that becomes super interesting on that side. So we'll see where that lands. But I'm in the same boat as you. There are too many other places that I want to drop Omicrons right now than maybe getting into the Poggle side. So that was the
And
news.
yeah, well,
Go ahead.
and one last thing, especially about the TW Omicrons. Do you think that Datacrons kind of snuff out the sale of Omicrons for TW, because honestly, if you have a wall of legends or a specific team all with decent Datacrons, don't those kind of almost in some respects give you the same effect as an Omicron?
I hadn't really thought about that, but it's a great point because we don't see territory wars enough. I think that
Don't.
there's enough turnover with that Datacrons kind of mess with that game enough. At least in Grand Arena, you're getting, you're 9 fights pretty much every month with those teams, which is double
Yeah.
what you're, well, I guess it's only one more than territory wars, but sure feels like a lot more.
It does. It
But
does.
yeah, I think you're right. I think the Datacrons probably have a bigger impact in territory wars than I think than they do in Grand Arena right now. Because I seem to always run into really good Datacrons when I'm in territory wars, but I got a hard time spending them right there right now. And we've got this raid coming up. And are you gonna try and throw one on Boosh when the raid comes out?
I think I might have to. I hate to do it, but I actually think I might have to. I've actually been brainstorming that for a week or two, really kind of. It's like every other day I'll look at her kit again and read it and go, do I want to do this? Do I want to do this? Do I want to do, like, when the raid comes, and I am in severe, and I know we'll get to this a little later, but I have been in mass preparation mode for this new raid since it was announced. Like, most of my energy has been going on the teams I'm going to need to maximize, because I think your individual score is going to mean a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think that makes a great transition. Let's step into to that snow moon, because it's you and I were kind of trading back and forth this week. We a couple of topics we wanted to talk about. Normally this is kind of where we cover the kit, the new kit, but we already covered that. Now, of course, the big topic of the week, Sarah's new baby. We're gonna have to understand that the baby's gonna come first for an extended period of time. But I think you and I have a couple of things we wanted to talk about today. So let's use that to kind of jump in your comments about the raid and launch into that. And let's talk about the Tuskens a little bit, because this is a topic we've seen a lot of people kind of, are they going to matter? How much are they going to matter? What do we need to do with that team? I think there's a lot of people. So kind of where's your head right now with the Tuskens?
Honestly, and this is just me, I think the Tuskens are a smokescreen. I think the
Really?
Tuskens, I think the Tuskens are a smokescreen. I think they're a distraction for something else that is coming.
Okay.
I don't see eventually an event where you have all your Tuskens reliced, where you're going to have a Grand Inquisitor Tusken. Like,
Okay.
I don't see that. I mean, I could be wrong. That could be what they have planned. But for right now, like, assault battles, you can do it with Inquisitors. You don't necessarily need to have Tuskens. And in my opinion, Inquisitors are more worth the investment than Tuskens are right now. They're doing some decent things in GAC from what I've seen, but they're not earth shattering. It's nothing that a competent player can't handle if it's on defense. It can be dealt with. It can be had. I don't know. And especially with all the potential of what's going on with Scoundrels and Cal Kestis, you're asking us to. And I know it's only two tunes, and I am thinking about that, but that's still two tunes of gear, Kyrotech,
Yeah.
signal data, relic material, where I honestly feel like you're gonna want this these Cal Kestis. Like, I think this is leading into something bigger, and I do. I think the Tuskens are a smokescreen to divert your resources. That when the big thing does hit, you're slightly depleted, as CG likes to do, and then you're off whaling or spending or doing whatever it is people do.
So let me throw another idea past you on this though. Because this is where I keep coming back with the Tuskens. We have this raid coming, and CG has at least said that you're going to be able to take your roster at your current, gear slash relic level, and you're going to compete on your own personal track, and you're going to pick where you want to be. So you may have all gear 12 characters and choose, I'm going to go into rank 2, and I've got all, relic 5 characters, and I'm going to go into to level, 7 or whatever that is. And my guess would be the higher your level or difficulty level, the more, advancement you make on the raid. The problem with the raid, and why I'm making a leap of faith right now that the raid rewards are going to be worth it. You've only got like four teams to use to maximize your score as part of this. You've got the Jabba
That's it.
team, you've got the Jawas, You've got the Tuscans, and I think there's one other, and I'm drawing a blank on who that is off the top of my head.
Mandalorians.
So is it the Mandalorians? Okay.
Mandalorians. Yep.
So in order to maximize your personal raid contribution, you have to have a viable Tusken squad. Now the question is can if you look at that kind of those four factions, how are they going to stack rank for damage in the raid? Is it going to be Jabba and then Mandalorians and then Tuskens and Jawas? Or is it going to be Tuskens, Jabba, so
And
is it, I think what you're going to find it
there's Old Republic in there too.
is there, okay.
Yep.
But because they're minimizing the number of characters you can use as part of that, I think you're going to want them leveled and ranked up so that you can actually increase your overall personal raid reward. Now, that doesn't mean you need it for day one. I mean, it could be, look, 6 months down the road and wait till the characters start coming in from that side. But I just think that I have a sneaking suspicion, especially when debuffs are supposed to help, and this seems to be such a debuff heavy team that they do things with,
Does.
that I think the Tuskens are going to have a pretty big impact on what the raid sits at. But again, we got another month until we're going to hear about what that actually looks like. So I do agree with you though. There's multiple paths that are going on in the game right now, and I think you kind of got to pick one and run with it for a period of time. So it'll be interesting how it all shakes.
And that's what I'm afraid of. I mean, I will make this bold hot take statement right now that I think this raid is going to introduce Relic 10 material.
I think you're right.
I think that's where it's going to come from. So, personal score and what you contribute in this raid obviously is going to be paramount. This is something CG is going to want. They want you to do well in this raid, and that's where the latest greatest hotness is going to come from, is obviously from this raid. But my biggest fear is with the Tuskens is that again, it's Kyrotech is at a premium, the relic material is at a premium, and with one Cal Kestis, Sarah Jinda now out, Marin coming, Cal Kestis survivor, and then I mean, eventually one would think that Legend news has to be in the future at some point. At some point, we've got to be getting close to something big. And just a Tusken team is just not. I would rather put my resources into Cal Kestis. I real like it's just when I do a personal scale in the hand, like it just drifts to one. Yeah.
Well, and I think, look, you make a great point because I think with Cal Kestis and Seer in particular, I guess Survivor and Seer coming in, you're going to need them to unlock the bonus mission and territory battle. So who knows what that's going to look like? But so you're going to have guild pressure to kind of push you down to kind of get some of those things done from that perspective. I think this is where, I don't know, frustration probably isn't the right word, but I just want to know what the reward tracks for the new territory battle is going to be. Fight with those guys and what the reward track is going to look like for the raid,
Yeah,
so I can make a
absolutely.
determination what's the best use of resources from that side. It's still there's a lot of unknown. Yeah, we're going to see we're seeing Tuskens in collective challenges. We're going to see the Tuskens probably in the next round of or the next iteration of or Conquest, but I agree with you. If I'm having to pick between them, I probably lean a little bit heavier towards the Cal side. It, also because he's not going to be an always available character. The journey guide piece, it's going to be the Grand Inquisitor. And you just don't want to get
Yep.
stuck behind a 6 month window with that as well. So,
No, that's
but.
and I mean that's an argument for another day. That Grand Inquisitor event and the windows between events was just outrageous. It was outrageous. Oh, that was a long wait.
Which I think to
Let's
that point though,
hear.
I think they said the 25th, he's coming out on the 25th of March, so he'll be back for the third cycle. So not that it should be a surprise with all of the shards that they were throwing all over the place, like a
Yeah.
longshoreman on leave, for so that was a we saw quite a bit over the last few weeks. So
And you're going to start seeing more and more Rivas unlocked.
So how close are you guys to unlocking Riva? How do you, rough idea?
Good. Oh, you caught me on the spot. I actually don't. Give me 2 seconds. I don't know offhand. We're not in a bad. I'm in the Death Star port designers with Go Cubs and the GAC lab guys. I'm actually in that field with them, and we're not doing too bad. Where is it? Where is it? We are. Oh no! Of course, I had her highlighted at the top, and I scrolled all the way down like a dummy. All right, so 171 of 330.
Okay. Not
You know,
bad.
it's getting there. Getting there. We're getting about I think our last hurrah at the mission, we got 34.
Okay.
So we're shooting for 38 this time. We had a couple drops, the last one, but we get it, you know, they changed it. You know, I will say for all of our listeners, and I'm sure a lot of you know this already, but my goodness, is modding important? Is speed and turn order important on this mission? Like, you do not want your Grand Inquisitor going first. You just don't. You want him going like third or fourth. And it's weird because normally people always have their Grand Inquisitor at these ridiculous speeds, and it's like you don't need him that fast, to be honest. You really don't.
It's crazy. I ran one of the templates in Hot Utils to kind of put to clock everybody. And the speeds that I'm coming up with was everyone's at like 300 and south of that. And I'm like, well, that doesn't seem right. And like it works. Like it's slow works
Yeah.
absolutely really well. But yeah, it's the new mission is it's hard. I don't think it's impossible. You know, I think it if you can get help while you walk through it, I think is the best way to be successful from that side. But I will be glad when it's over.
Yeah,
That's
no, I
my
will
biggest
too.
takeaway, so
What was it? Health kills, protection is king on this mission. And you really, if the battle for you will go south, if by the time it's Grand Inquisitor's turn, you don't have at least five stacks of purge. You have to get those stacks of purge to stick in that mission, or things are going to go south for you very quickly.
So I know in the last episode, Sarah mentioned it that we had a run that she was not on, that we just screwed up, and I was the one that was pushing to for the bad move, but we got six stacks of purge on Nebit at to start, so we were right where we wanted to be, but Scavenger wasn't in Viz, so I had the bright idea. Well, oh no, because that's going to trigger the tenacity up, so target Scavenger and hit it with torture, and it doesn't work
Yeah.
that way. You've actually got to consume the stacks of purge to do that. So
Oh, and it not okay. Yeah, and it killed the momentum.
and then what happened was in the next move, basically because there's no tenacity, the stacks of detonators started spreading around so quickly. Like you blinked and everyone
Oh.
was at like 14 or 15, and it was just over in a heartbeat. And so it is a very exciting thing to watch when all the detonators start going off and all your characters start exploding. Just probably not something anyone really wants to see from that side. So,
I mean, the mission is harder, but I don't think it deserved the outcry that it initially got. It's still doable. You just have to mod it right. And Relic, I
absolutely.
mean, yeah, you have to have them all at Relic 7. Like, for instance, and this is just me personally, my Grand Inquisitor is Relic 8, my Ninth Sister is Relic 9. And
Okay.
I do that for survivability because
Yeah.
you want the tank to obviously tank as many hits as it can. And my ninth sister at Relic 9 is pretty thick. So.
That is I love Relic 9 9 9 Ninth Sister. Relic 9 9 Sister. That's hard to say. But again, just sitting there and kind of just getting punched over and over and over again, you just see nothing move. And it just kind of
Nothing
just
moved.
stays still the entire time.
It's like
So
I think like real quick, I think you've done it. Because I've looked at your profile. I recently, a couple months ago, put Kersant into Relic 9, and my goodness, that I mean, over 100 K health and 200K protection, that is just his royal thickness. That is just ridiculous.
And look, the only real win deal with him right now is with Cat killing him. That and unless you've got the Omicron, he's coming right back up from that side. So it's yeah, he's a he is a big, thick, beefy boy. So we'll see
Yes.
where that keeps going. So
All right.
let's change topics a little bit because you guys
All right.
actually had this last night. I think you guys talked about this on your show last night, but the topic got brought up around is it good to hoard or not? And I think I characterized that question that you guys asked in your Discord channel, right? And we were going to talk a little bit. So what was kind of the discussion around hoarding and kind of what are your thoughts around hoarding and gear and those things? So.
Well, I brought it up, and one thing that I like about what our show does is that my first co-host, the Immortal Kane, is he got an account from Nev, and it was pom-pom-tastic, and he's about 5 million, so he's mid-game. We've kind of hijacked Bob from the Escape Podcast, and we have him on our show in the Old Man's Cantina now, just because the man is actually really hilarious, and he's at about 7, 8 million. So Kane's at about five. Bob's at 7 to 8, somewhere in there. I'm at 10.5. So I feel like the three of us, we're e we the e all three of us are going to have a different perspective on each topic that's presented. And I thought the topic of hoarding was very interesting because, and I think this applies to anyone that's in the game. What is hoarding? Can you do it? Can you really hoard everything all at once? I don't think so, but please make your case. Do you hoard something specific? Like, are you just one of those guys that happens to hoard signal data and you only relic when you absolutely have to? Kane likes to hoard material to improve his mods, and he has a ton of it. Like, we're talking, you walk into his living room and there's stacks of it to the ceiling, that kind of hoarder, and 1-800 got junk has to show up. And you've got Bob that I think he said he was one of the guys that does signal data. He's very cognizant of what he relics up and when. And
Okay.
again, I think it goes down to everybody's crystal daily crystal income. You may not be the kind of player that can dump 300 in Cantina energy to keep your signal data up to snuff where you want it. So hoarding, I think, is a very unique condition that everybody in this game has, but uses it in different instances. So, like
It,
you,
and it's
Pico, what do you hoard? What do you hoard?
yes. So I do hoard a little bit, and it's funny because I've beaten up Voxen in the past around hoarding because I think that there is a point when it comes to, and I put this in your Discord that tomorrow is never promised.
Yeah, no, you did. Yep.
There is no tomorrow. There's no promise of tomorrow. The next character to be released may not be better than the characters that we have in the game right now. That's not to say don't have a plan for moving forward, and this is kind of the way that I always looked at it. But don't put off tomorrow or don't put off today to the point that you're crippled, or let me rephrase that. Don't put off today for the hope of tomorrow that you're crippling yourself today. It's the person who saved 90% of their income and actually never saw anything more than 200 miles from their home. And then with their plan that they were going to travel the world when they retired, and they died at 72 years old. They never got a chance to do that. Like that's the way that I look at it. So my approach to hoarding right now is there. I start to look at things that will be difficult for me to achieve. Like I'm going to take Reba to Relic 9. I don't know if she's actually is going to make a lot of sense at Relic 9, but I just decided I was going to do that. So I started 3 months ago putting the gear and the relic material aside for her, and that becomes the base that I start building everything off
I do
on
the
top of that.
same
So
thing for a character I really want. Yep.
So Reva's going to go there. Trench is going to go to R7 because I'm just at the point that I'll talk about this in a second, but Trench is going to R7 because R7's just where the fun starts to happen with a lot of things.
It
And then
does.
everything else, so I start building on top of that. My view right now is I'm more interested in hoarding characters at certain thresholds than I am hoarding gear at certain thresholds. And I think those thresholds are everybody to gear 12, because gear 12 is the it's frankly the it's the first gate right now. But more importantly, it gives you a very quick transfer into relics if you need to make that happen. Once you get characters into relics, I think that next gate past that is relic 5, because relic 5 is a gate to a number of things in the game. It's a relic, or it's a gate into new datacrons as they hit the game. And going from relic 5 to relic 7 is a fairly easy step, provided you've done all that work to get to that point. It's really not that
It
you could
really
typically most
is.
people, yeah. If you focus on trying to get a character up, you can easily get a character from R5 to R7 in a week without a whole lot of problems. And then the next gate past that, I think, is going to become the R7 gate, where that just becomes the, oh, that Omnicron drop, that Datacron dropped, I can use it right away. Everything else I just kind of hold on to, because if I don't need to. But when back when I was doing my original Gear 12 project, I spent resources. As soon as the resources came in, spend it, because as quickly as you send it out, it's coming right back in. Maybe not as fast as you can spend it, but especially with the gear changes that have happened to the game, resources are coming into it at a rapid pace. Hit your green pluses. Be ready, because what that allows you is, my view has always been, it allows you greater flexibility when these things are shifting. And we're seeing a lot of turn shifts. You know, I see a Tusken turn shift, I see the Santa turn shift. And having access to those turn characters, I think, really kind of helps things along. So that's kind of my view.
Oh no, I could not agree more. In fact, I'm one of the things that I hoard, not just like signal data is an issue for everybody, but I try to be really smart with it. Like I dump 300 crystals into Cantina energy daily. That's just part of my routine. 300, three refreshes, signal data. That's what I do. What I'm very selective about what I spend on is Zimbittle cards. The impulse detectors and those pesky electrium conductors, those darn things. Those things will make or break you getting somebody to the relic you want. And I think a really great test of someone's discipline in terms of what they will spend and what they won't has really been, I think, the most prevalent in this latest set of Datacrons, because there's a lot of characters in this set that a lot of people didn't have to seven. I didn't have a Sana at seven. I didn't have Kiara at seven. I didn't have K2SO at seven. I didn't have, well, yeah, I did have Enfries Nest at seven. A lot of people put him to seven or put her to seven. But there was a lot of tunes in there that had decent Datacrons that a lot of, but you are correct. In a week, if you do it right, you should be able to put someone from five to seven, one, if not maybe two, a week.
Absolutely. And I think that the game has also shifted a little bit, because look, we can talk about Grand Arena and the Squish and get into that whole topic, but I think for the most part, everyone has, short of some of the lower Grand Arena brackets, I have to put that caveat in there before someone blows up on this, but I
Oh
think
boy.
in the Kyber range, that everyone kind of ends up in the right spot where they're at. And I might not have all the same Galactic Legends as everyone else, but we're seeing winners and losers. You know, that doesn't seem to be a determining factor in that side. I know that there's someone in our guild who is constantly chasing in the upper echelon of, you know, the top 500, and was jobless for an extended period of time, and they're afterless right now, and they're able to compete on that side. Are they getting to the top 100? No, but most people aren't getting to the top 100 as it is anyway. But the days of I need to have all of the resources for the next Galactic Legends so that when they drop, I can immediately get them so that I can keep chasing all these other things, I think those days are gone.
Yeah, I think they are too. Absolutely. What's the point?
And you know, great. So you couldn't get the you can't get Galactic Leia when she comes out, the, you know, the first week that she comes out, when she comes out, if she comes out. But the reality is I'm not seeing that as being a massive impact to anyone. I mean, if you're in K1, you're in K1. If you're in K2, you're in K2. That's If you're at the top of K2, that's no different than if you're in the middle of the pack for K2 from that side. And I have to keep saying K2, because I actually fell down into it twice this week. So, or over this last run. So I am I'm quickly working my way backwards into that group, but
I
I
just
just
got not yeah, I just got knocked into K2. The last match of 3v3 I lost, and it bumped me into Kyber 2. So now 5v5 is gonna start, and maybe I'll be able to squeak my way back in to Kyber 1, but we'll see.
Yeah, I went 1-2, 1-2, and then 3-0 on the third round, and that pushed me up. That I don't think I'm going to get squished down in, but I'm going to be back in that. One loss puts me out of it. But I just think that now this is a different conversation as you push down into the 4 to 7 million GP range, I think, around hoarding. But I think of that side, you just need to pick a team and go. Like stop
Absolutely.
focusing on the next great thing that's coming, but just build a better roster than what you have right now. That's going to push you forward.
Yeah, that's why I don't think hoarding, like, and I mentioned that to Kane during our show. I was like, dude, I don't think hoarding for you is a viable option. I
Yeah.
don't think you can. You have so much to do that you pick a project, you commit to it, you finish it, then you're on to the next one, and you're back to square one. Empty resources, and you got to rebuild from that point
Yeah.
on. And especially
Yeah.
him being free to play. Hoarding is out the
Absolutely.
window when you're free to play.
And what's crazy about it is so listening to Kane, and then I got a buddy of mine who started playing about 2 or 3 months ago, and he's he's very, very casual with the game, but kind of just watching. And the same with Kane is like he just unlocked CLS and Chewbacca. And like all of a sudden, like all these other pieces of the game kind of opened up to him. Whereas Kane, like when he unlocked Jedi Master Luke, and all of a sudden he was able to run through a hard conquest on that side. Like that to me was always the drawback to hoarding is that by unlocking characters, more of the game was accessible or more success was happening for people in the games. And I was just never a big Horde fan. So,
Yeah,
but.
no, I just I again I thought it was an intriguing topic. I thought it was a topic that hasn't really been addressed or had a deep dive on it. Was what is hoarding in this game? Is it,
Yeah.
some people hear hoarding and I think some people immediately think, well, that means I'm not spending anything, which is actually kind of unhealthy for the growth of your roster and what you want to accomplish in this
Absolutely.
game. Like, you have to spend your stuff. Like, you've got to spend it. There's no way around it. And with hoarding, again, if some people want to hoard, I think it was, oh my goodness, on our chat, I think it was Bodhi, and he had said something to the effect that he hoards his crystals and never goes below a certain threshold. And I think he said something to the effect of it was like 15,000 crystals or 17. That way, if a new capital ship dropped, he could seven star it day one.
Okay.
And I remember responding to him going, I felt like Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now, the genius of that. But I don't have that kind of discipline to hoard that
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
crystal. I don't have it. You give me 15, 17,000 crystals, I'm gonna find something to spend it on.
Well, and what's interesting about that is we've got someone in our guild that I believe they said that the twice a year when they do the across the board crystal sales, they buy each one of the crystals vaults, and that's all they spend. So when you give me 20% off or 20% bonus, they do that, and that's got to last them. So May needs to last them to November, and November needs to last them to May, because I think they typically do that twice a year. And then at the same time, I'm watching them get frustrated because like they don't have Aphra right now and they need Aphra to compete in Grand Arena, and it like there's a part of me like that is a set of intestinal fortitude that I do not own because I have everything in my pocket to go solve this problem that is causing me pain every day. But their view is they want the flexibility of something mandatory drops. I think they use Jabba was an example that they use. Like I was able to buy my way into Jabba to make that happen for that side, but that is crystal hoarding. Yeah, that's not a Pico thing.
And as the characters and the kits and teams become more dominant as this game continues to evolve, that position of doing the crystal discount packs, yet being kind of upset that you don't have Aphra. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Eventually, that position is going to become untenable. You're not going to be able to, because the, I mean, look at Reva, for instance. She's destroying everything.
Yeah. But what's interesting about that is, like, I love that Aphra kit. I love the whole thing that they have. But it is a fair question, is how much of it is being propped up right now by the Datacron, and how much of it is it a great team? So, like, this individual's like, I'm not going to go, like, I need Aphra, but I'm not also going to go drop a bunch of resources on her because she might actually only be 75% of that team, which is still really good, but it's not game changing at that point. So it'll, again, impulse control is not something that I have enough of. That
Right.
just doesn't happen for me. So,
Nope. Same here. Nope. Nope.
all right. So let's go to the third big topic, and this is what I'm really interested in. And I have this titled in GAC, would Han have shot first? That's really what I know. Will Han Solo shoot first in Grand Arena Championship? And you and I were kind of talking a little bit about the show, and I think there's a little bit of strategy whether you go first or second in Grand Arena. And I know I had an opinion, and I think it's somewhat changing. So where's your head on this topic right now?
Well, I want to give a shout out to Xerath and Solo Base, Solo Bass 15. They hit on this on one of their episodes of the Gambit, and I remember listening to it and I went, wow, that is a fascinating topic. At least for me, the one thing that I've noticed, how my work schedule and my life schedule is, GAC will start and I don't touch it that evening. I'll look at it. I'll kind of make a plan and kind of look at the teams and go, okay, I can do this. This is how many GLs he set. And then I have dinner. I spend time with my, beautiful missus and I go to bed and I get up in the morning. And I would say 75% of the time when I wake up in the morning and look at my phone, my opponent has gone after it. He's done it. He's done his thing. He's done his attacks. And a couple of things will happen. I'll get fully cleared, and then I have to go, okay, did he have any drops? If it's a full clear, no drops, then okay, I'm at square one and I have to play very well. If he had a couple of drops here and there, it takes a little bit of the pressure off of how you approach it. If he had a couple of drops here and there, you may look at a team and go, okay, I can drop that one to save a team for something else. Now, scenario three is you wake up in the morning, look at the board, and front sector north has been cleared, ships have been cleared, but he got hung up on the southern front sector, and you had a team that had eight holds. At that point, you know he got stuck. So, what do you have to do at that point? Do just enough to beat them on banners. That's it. That to me, if that scenario, or even if you get fully cleared, but there's some drops along the way, that is where I think going second is so, it's such an advantage. Such an advantage. Because especially in the third scenario, if somebody gets hung up, all you got to do is just enough. So you may go, okay, well, he got hung up on the south wall, the front one, but he cleared the top one and he cleared ships. So I can use my best teams to blow him out of the water in the north, take out his ships, hopefully, and then do just enough to beat him in banners on the southern front sector, and then it's over. So it's so advantageous, in my opinion, to go second.
So I have been doing it a little differently recently, more out of necessity than any strategic planning by any. And I'm in the same boat as you, is that my schedule is bad to the point that on Wednesdays when Sarah and I record, I don't even participate in Grand Arena that Wednesday, because
Oh,
normally I don't
yeah.
have enough time to get anything in, and then the next morning rolls around and the day gets too busy and it gets away from me. So, but what I've started doing is I will try and at least the night of when it releases, I will try and clear the front bottom zone to open up the board. And then I'll stop because normally if I run out of time and I'll just and hopefully they will have done something the next day. And the same thing you say is de it, depending on what they do, and honestly, if I can tell that it's someone from the South Pacific region, I absolutely will give them just enough to figure out what's going on because they're typically going to play while I'm asleep because of the way that the days just line up. They're typically not going to be pushing
Absolutely.
into the middle of the day from that side. So, but. What I've started doing though, and I did th this happened on this past Sunday. My opponent set this monster, painful defense. It was all Galactic Legends, but it wasn't just all Galactic Legends. They were brick walls. I mean, they were guaranteed counters for me that have never failed because I couldn't kill their characters fast enough. You know, they were massively well modded. They had all of the they just everything was set perfectly. And I got hung up and I could not get through a ray and I could not get through something else on the bottom. And I'm like, well, I lost. You like I just figured at this point like it wasn't gonna happen. So I took instead of trying to get through those two teams with high-end counters, I just went up and I popped a couple of teams and actually ended up dropping another fight up north as well. And I'm like, all right, I'm playing terrible, but I dropped a fight up there. And then they went back through the next day and they got hung up. And then all of a sudden it turned into, I'm like, wait, because I didn't try and pound my way through this bottom section with powerful teams, now I've got like all of my roster to take out what amounted to seven teams and ships. And that, and then it gets right back to the situation that you're talking about is that now I'm not playing, you know, 11 or what is it? It's 15 on, is it 50? Yeah, 15 on 15 with ships. I'm playing 10. I'm only having to win like eight, seven or eight fights at that point. So I ended up winning by 100 banners because they got hung up as well. We both cleared ships. They got hung up on that side, but it almost felt like because I'd lost a battle to the top. That they figured that they had me at that point, then they started making a couple of risky plays from that side. So I like to just get enough to open up the board that I can think about it and then kind of figure out where I'm going from that side. But I am typically I'm an early player just because it's easier for me to play in the evenings than it is the next day. So
Well, no, I think, and especially, you know, somebody in the situation of the window of time that you can play GA State,
yeah.
everyone is going to kind of adapt on how they're going to approach the board, look at the board, how many GLs, what counters what can I do? And even going first, there are some things that you can do to try to, you know, maybe trip your opponent up. Like maybe you don't clear one section kind of on purpose to make your
Yeah.
opponent think, oh, he's worried about it. So now I'm gonna race and do this and then maybe they make a mistake. So I think, I mean, obviously with this there's two sides to the coin. And I think there's advantages and disadvantages to both. Like even waiting to go, like for instance, I dread waking up in the morning and I look at the board and I'm fully cleared and it's all ones. And then I'm like,
Yeah.
well, now he's going to sit back and wait for me to screw up. So that's,
You know,
I feel like that's the
yeah.
disadvantage to waiting. Because if your opponent just looks at the board and goes, ah, done. And then you wake up to all ones, you're like, well, I better get good and I've got till 5 o'clock to do it or whatever
So
time it is.
what's funny about that is it was in 3v3 and I one shot the entire board. And my opponent and I was watching them because it was late enough in the day and I was able to kind of keep track of what they were doing. And they started going after me and they were one shotting everything as well. And they got in, they cleared the bottom one shot. Then they opened up the back, they cleared the top one shot, they cleared ships one shot, they got into the back row, they dropped the fight and just stopped. Because it was impossible for them to actually do anything at that point, and they're just like, all right, well, so I I was the one that blinked first, and it was over at that point. And I'm like, I respect that because there are times that I just look at it, I'm like, there's no way that I'm going to do this. If
Yeah.
I've dropped the fight in similar situations, and like it's just not worth it at this point.
Oh, I've done that. There's been some times where my opponent attacked and I'm cleared, and I just had one drop too many, and I'll message him and go,
Yeah.
"Hey, great match. You got me. Good
Yeah.
defense. Loved that team you set. I hate it, but I loved it." So, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what you're seeing right now, but I am seeing it's funny. At the bottom of K1, top of K2, I'm seeing more engaged play in Grand
Yes.
Arena than when I was sitting in the
Yes.
middle of K1.
Yep, I
Because
am too.
it feels like everyone's just kind of fighting to get in there or get back in there is what it comes down to. So,
And they're actually playing. Like, I think
yeah.
one of the most competitive spot, I mean, yeah, the guys in the very top want to stay where they are. That's competitive.
Yep.
But the next like tier of competitiveness is right where Kyber 1 meets Kyber 2, 'cause that's the dog pit right there. That's the octagon. That's where people are throwing haymakers and landing bombs, and that's where it's going on. What kind of interaction with this latest Datacron set are you seeing? Because I'm not seeing a lot.
No,
I'm seeing Sia, I'm seeing Chipio on defense a lot. But other than
I
that,
saw.
I'm not seeing a lot of movement on this Datacron set.
I'm really not either, and I wonder if it's because it's on offense, is part of it. Which again, I'm just taking a I'm taking a guess at that point, but I haven't seen a lot. I don't like the stats. The stat mix that are in there, they're just not. I want more. I'm disappointed that we don't have tenacity and potency seem to be gone out of this set, which I really like because I think there are things that you can kind of screw around with on that. Protection doesn't seem to be that great for me right now. I'm just not a huge fan of this set, and
It just
I don't
seems
think I
like,
ever got a sorted.
yeah. It seems like constant resistance and resistance penetration.
Yeah. And unless you got a character with resistance penetration, it doesn't really matter. So,
It really doesn't. It
yeah.
doesn't. I've seen a couple sorties. I've not, and that's shocking because I have the Sonicron, and that team is decently modded. I don't put the Hoth Han on the team. I'm just not sold on that.
Okay.
I actually use Urza Bridger.
Okay.
He's relic 5, decent speed. I got offense mods on him. He packs a punch. I think in that team, you need another home run hitter to really do some damage, especially if your Stormtrooper Han is relic well and modded well. That team can be annoying, but I'm not seeing that on D. I'm not seeing Kiara on D, which I thought I was going to see a lot of
Nope.
that. I'm not even seeing a lot of Shorty, the Old Republic droid. I'm not seeing a lot of that either.
I think it'll be interesting if we're going to see more of the Datacrons in the 5v5 because I think a lot of those teams are just better in a 5v5 setup. But you know, like the all the resistance ones all seem to really want a team of five to figure out how they work together, whether it's you know Raze where it's or what is the second level ability, the level six ability around you know anytime you target an ally with an ability. Well, with three you just don't have a lot of opportunities to generate a lot of touches that way, but if you're doing it with a team of five, so it'll be interesting how it shakes, but I'm not that, I'll be honest, I'm not that disappointed in it because I mean, stats are stats, but I'm okay not seeing some of the overpowered level nines because those are the ones that I think that just kind of break the game in a lot of respects. So,
I have been cursing the RNG gods. I have 9 level 9s in this Datacron set, and not one of them are resistance. And I really want one for 5v5. And like, I have 9. Like, I have everyone else. I've got everybody except resistance. It's driving me insane. I can't, and I'm not one. And That's another thing I hoard. I hoard that reroll material. I
Okay.
only use that if I know it, like if the rolls on my Datacron are so, and especially in this set, if they're so dreadfully awful, and it does help to be in a guild that does very well in TW because that stuff matters. When you win, you collect that, and that's very helpful in terms of reroll material. But I hoard that. I hoard my the reroll material because you just, and again, a credit to other people that broadcast about this game, but you know, when a Datacron set hits, it could be a month, and then all of a sudden somebody does a video that says, "Oh my God, this Datacron is awesome. This is going to work. Here's the footage." And I go, "Aha, I have the reroll material to possibly get that." So
See,
I'm so
I'm
I
going the
also
opposite.
hoard.
Yeah, I'm going the opposite direction. I'm hoarding data cache currency right now for the next set. I'm already thinking about the next set because I'm just not that in love with what we got going on right now. So.
Yeah, you're right. I got to start thinking about that too. The new set is right around the corner, isn't it? My goodness. Yeah, I forgot about that. All right.
All right, I think we drained that. Let's move into some of these quick hits. So let's talk about the Bantha of the room. This is kind of our
Okay.
negative over the past 2 weeks. I put Sarah's in here for her already. It's probably lack of sleep. I mean, I'm just assuming that of course she probably has a perfect child who's sleeping all the way through the night already, but I'm guessing that she's not as chatty as she used to be on Discord, so I'm guessing that probably the sleep is getting her. And I'll hit mine before I ask yours, but and I put TV on here, but I fell asleep doing Conquest this week. I'm done with it. I listened to Solo talk about how he falls asleep doing Conquest, and I'm like, how does that happen? And then it's now happening to me. So we need to lessen the engagement on that game platform. So
Pico, you actually hit the nail on the head in one of your previous episodes that I listened to, where when you said, "I am so sick of killing that bounty hunter team." You said that, and I went, "Yes, yeah." I don't remember. I think I was in my car listening to it, and I'm screaming, going, "Yes, I'm so sick of that stuff!" Like, oh my, I'm done. I'm done. I'm just over it. I'm so over this conquest and trying to get master's training 50 times, you know, fracture 40 times. That alone in the last sector, you like whoever came up with that feat over at CG, you need to be brought out back into the yard and flogged severely for that one. That is the fracture, that's ridiculous.
I did my 50 master's training today and was just like, this is the worst.
Oh
This
my
is
God.
the worst.
It's relentless. It's absolutely relentless. This has been one of the grindiest conquests in memory, at least how I'm seeing it.
It's funny, like I don't find it to be grindy, I just find it to be boring. It's just
Yeah,
boring.
it's just like blah.
Yeah.
But you're not, although I did mention to Kane and Bob, and this is one interesting point. While it's not, as you would say, GAC combat accurate, there is one thing for newer players or people at mid game can get out of Conquest, and the grindiness of it is you're going to learn your kits. You're going to learn your teams. You're going to learn how your teams work. But for us who've been playing this game since, you know, Inception, we're done. We know what bot we know how the Inquisitors work when we want to win this many battles with them, or getting th this many amounts of torture, or it's just it's not it it's wow, it's just ridiculous. It makes my head hurt.
When the challenge of Conquest is racing the board to get the data disks that you want to get the setup so you can make it faster, that's just not where we want to be. So
No, it's not.
I think it's time that maybe we want a little bit of a refresher coming into that. So Which, look, we could be negative is all we want to, but that brings us to, and this is actually one of my favorite segments on the show, which is I Love You, I Know segment. It's easy to get jaded by the game. There's a reason that we're still playing this game after 7 years. So we're going to kind of talk about what we loved over the last 2 weeks. Again, I'm going to speak for Sarah here. I'm sure it's probably something about a baby. I don't know
Oh
who,
yeah.
you know,
Yeah, sure
new
it's about a
families or
baby.
that side. So,
Yep. Yep.
old man, what has had you happy over the last 2 weeks in this game? So.
To be honest, I didn't tank in 3v3 as badly as I thought I was going to. I broke even. It's like, you go to the casino with, a couple hundred bucks and you leave with a couple hundred bucks. It's like, no harm, no foul. That's how I felt about that. I like where I'm at. I like the decisions that I'm making. I feel like they're more for me and my play style and how I'm doing. And I think the positive thing is that I'm still playing this game and having fun and interacting with the community. I think that's the most important thing.
Awesome. I'm going to be very more point specific because, and I'm going to set this up a little bit. So Sig Sig was giving me the business 2 weeks ago because I made the wonderful comment on this podcast that I didn't think Reva was really going to be that great of a character, and that I wasn't convinced that she was going to be awesome. And as we were debating something else on one of the Discord channels, he's like, well, you are the guy that didn't think that Reva was going to be really good. I was wrong. I can admit that I was wrong, but I am very excited to be close to Reva being done. It feels like I've been holding your gear forever. We'll be done in not this territory battle, but the following one. So we're at about 255 shards right now. We're getting about 45 each. So
Congrats.
we'll thanks.
Congrats.
I've been sitting on this gear forever and all this stuff forever, and I'm tired of looking at her on the little gear tracker. But it'll be nice, and I'm excited that she's a good character, and even more excited that all of the dumb things I say in life are recorded for posterity, so anyone can kind of go back and listen to what kind of an idiot I am over time. So
Oh, I
that's
know.
always a
And
positive.
sometimes on my show, I have a couple of cocktails, and then one of our viewers go, "Oh man, do you remember what you said?" And I go, "Vaguely. Why? What did I do?" So it works out. Like, my vow that if Gungans are ever introduced to the game, I'll immediately go free to play. I apparently said it, so now I kind of have to stick with it. Yeah, I said that. I actually said that.
What you guys need is you need a little drink counter in the corner, and then like when it hits three, like that's when like the banner goes up and it's like we can no longer hold Logan accountable for anything he says. So like
I
that
know
becomes like the bridge.
it's like when Ranger does the shooey. It's like after a certain amount of shooeys, you should just be not responsible for any actual hot takes you make about the game, like Slave Leia being the next legend. I guarantee it. And then the next day you go, "Wait a minute, I said what? No, I said that, didn't I? Oh crap, I said that." I agree. I concur with that statement, sir.
We're going to skip over rank and file because we have not got a new executor or Raddus event, so that hasn't changed.
Okay.
Which brings us to Uncle Owen's moisture farm. We're going to talk about who and what we're currently farming right now, because everyone knows that work comes before going to Tashi Station to pick up new power converters. So, Logan, what are you working on right now?
Well, it kind of goes back a little bit to the Tusken conversation. And again, I gave this a lot of thought, and this decision was actually made couple weeks ago based off of one of the episodes that I had. And Kane made a comment about, well, this new raid, why aren't people being a little more paying a little having a little more TLC on their Jawas? And I gave him a bunch of grief. I was yelling at him, and it's at that point where the drink counter should have been at five, and I take no responsibility for what I said. But I gave him a bunch of grief for it. And I woke up the next day and I was like, wow, he actually brought up a really good point. And my reasoning behind it is Jawas are a team that is one of the highlighted teams for the new raid. We know this. One of your Jawas, depending on what legends you have, should be already reliced. Now, given the fact that they are older toons that have been around for a very long time, more often than not, you're going to have them at 7-star. More often than
Absolutely.
not, you're going to have them at gear 11 or gear 12.
Absolutely.
What is the one piece of gear you really don't have to sweat with this crew of five?
Believe that would be the
Not front.
Chirotex. Yeah.
Exactly. So instead of going the Tusken route, I'm going with Jawas, and I'm too shy of having the
Right.
entire team at Relics.
Nice. Nice.
So that'll be my, because it's Mandalorians got them, Hutt Cartel got them, Old Republic got them, Jawas got them. So now I'm going into this new raid with four relic teams ready to go to
Awesome.
do what I can. And to me, it just made more sense because it's not as a heavy gear investment, I feel, as like from Tuskens to Jawas, I felt like Jawas was the easier path, but I can still put some stuff aside for eventually Reva. I got to start thinking about what
Yeah.
I'm going to put into her. But also, I really want to jump on this new Cal Kestis faction that's coming out. Like, my Sauron's eye is fixed on that.
Which that's a really great point because look, very few people are going to walk into this raid with all of the factions kind of ready to roll and ready to go from that side. So the Jawas do allow you to kind of go chase that journey guide character that is only going to be around for a little bit of time. And
Yep.
again, I still think that that's going to be a fun team from that side. And plus, you'll have the Jawa, destruction team that'll be able to kind of just go in and nuke things as needed. So, very cool. I am continuing along the same path. Trench is ready for R7. Reva's ready for R9. My new 52 project. I wrapped up Mob Enforcer, Lando, and Mission. I am
Oh,
chasing the
okay.
Tuskens. So my new 52 project, I'm working on getting the entire roster to Relic 7 by the end of the calendar year. So this was the, those were the three that I did over the last 2 weeks.
God
It's all that I
bless
got
you.
left, man. It's all I got left.
Bless you. Holy smokes. That's
So
impressive.
question for you though, I know Java's done for you. Is Aphra done?
Yes. Yep. Aphra is
So
Relic 8. Trip Zero is Relic 7, and the other murder droid I put to Relic 8 because the damage output is outrageous.
yep. So is this the first time in game for you that you've been effectively current with kind of all the big characters?
I would have to say yes for this amount of period of time. I think there was a point
Okay.
where I had Kenobi done, and then I think maybe a week later, Lord Vader was announced, and just kind of wanted to
Okay.
go cry. I think, don't quote me on that, but no, this is one of those times where I feel like I'm at that weird, awkward position where, like I said, I decided to go with Jawas. It was one of those things where they've been around for so long. And like the Tuskens, the Jawas have the potential to lay down some debuffs and thermal detonators. And that's another thing I actually thought of. Who's to say this raid doesn't happen and the Jawas are like the stars? Like they're pumping out thermal detonators and doing so, and then everyone is gonna go, "Oh my God, I gotta get my Jawas!" And I'm gonna be like, "I'm good. I'm good on that." So yeah, you're at the craps table. You're throwing dice, but hey, for an Utini bomb in GAC, I'll go with it because I keep hearing it in some instances that team works.
Well, look, it's got to be a great feeling to be at the point that you're like, no, I'm just gonna work on stuff now. Like
Yeah.
it's not the next, it's not the next. It's starting to get lined up for what's the next thing coming because I don't have to chase the piece that was dropped 6 months ago. So that's awesome.
And that's one thing I actually said to Kane and Bob in one episode is that I feel for the position that they're in because, Kane has said on a couple of occasions, and he's actually done it, he's gotten the next big thing, but then he'll take 2 months to kind of shore up his roster, work on a side project, not just go for the next thing, because not having roster depth is going to hurt you in Conquest, Assault Battles, Galactic Challenges. So, and I think that's one of the positions that's great about where you and I are at, is that we have that option where we can add some depth, where these other guys, they've got to be really careful what events to go for and what characters to not go for, so they can round out their rosters, which I think is incredibly important.
Yep, absolutely. Sarah did send in her list of where she is, and it just
Ah,
said something
nice.
about dirty diapers, and that was it. So,
Yeah, Sarah, you are an absolute sweetheart, but you are going to become very acquainted with those very quickly.
Probably this is a little TMI probably for the show, but I don't think anyone shared with her about little boys and what happens when that diaper goes off when they're ready to go. I mean, that is it. That is that sprinkler system right in your face when you're not expecting it the first time is just it's life changing and not in a positive way. Hopefully she never ran into that. So.
I would bet every last cent in my savings that she is going to have the thought of how does something so vile come out of something so beautiful?
Yeah.
Yep.
I had a friend of mine tell me he's like the secret to changing a diaper is you put the new one over the top while you're getting the old one off so you don't get that surprise spray up in your face.
Yeah, that's, oh my goodness. I had four kids and done. Done. Been there, done that, stained a couple t-shirts doing it.
Speaking of done, Logan, we have drained this show. Thank you so much for coming on and doing the show with me. I think anyone listening to me for an hour by myself would have been way too much. I really appreciate it. Again, for folks that are still listening, because everyone should still be listening, why don't you give them a quick plug where they can catch all of your awesome stuff.
Absolutely. We definitely Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Look up the Old Man's Cantina, and also the Escape Pod Cast, the Old Man's Private Reserve. We also do some game streaming on Twitch. Kane and I will get a wild hair up, you know where, and play a little Tekken, and beat the hell out of each other. Or I sometimes stream Dark Souls. I know that's a game that a couple of our listeners had talked about that I've been playing since it came out, and it's one of the hardest games, in my opinion, that's ever been created, and it's a lot of fun. But yeah, that's it. Come check us out and continue to support HNN. Great show, Pico. Thank you so much for having me on. This was a treat and an outstanding conversation, and I wish you and especially Sarah the best of luck moving forward, and I look for I can't wait to listen to more stuff that you guys are going to do.
Awesome. Thank you. And with that, everyone, thank you for joining us this week. Thanks for tuning in. That ought to do it. Until next time, Chewie, we're home.